Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Well, I mean, are you going to do that in the regular course of the game? The odds go down a lot. You know, you want to kick a 70-yard field goal in the middle of the first quarter, or would you rather punt? You know, so that's probably I'm punting there or going for it, maybe if it's real short. But as it gets to be more of a meaningful, like, number, as you get later in the game where you need the points, yeah, heck yeah, you know, you can put them back there. Why is it happening? Yeah, the kickers deserve a lot of credit. Snappers and holders are just as important. And then, well, maybe not just as important, but they're real close. They all work together.
John Harbaugh, Ravens head coach, a couple of days ago when he met with the media, talking about Tyler Loop, and in particular, not really giving him that air it out sort of opportunity. And he had a 50-yarder plus against the Bills in the season opener, but when is he going to, I don't know, unleash him like he did with Tucker, where it didn't matter the game situation. If there's a chance to get points, you take them instead of punting. Haven't seen it just yet, and you heard him explain, you know, he wouldn't kick a 70-yarder all the time, but the legs of these NFL kickers are incredible now, and one thing that we have gathered from Luke, Vinny, is he's got a big, big leg.
Oh, he's definitely got the big leg. Bob, the thing that's impressive to me, because remember before, it would always, with the kickers, you know, if it was a longer field goal, a lot of them would get blocked because you had to drive it. And now it seems like, you know, maybe it's because it's not the ball right out of the box. They have kicking balls now, which are, you know, got
sure.
A little fatter and easier to kick. If it's going to happen, it's got to happen when the weather's warm or it's indoors. You know, because as it gets colder outdoors, that ball's not going to be flying. You know, and then that'll change Harbs's, you know, distance that he wants to go for, too.
All right, let me ask you this. If they're down Ravens, down two, and they could either go for it on the final 2 seconds, Hail Mary style, or bring Loop out to kick a 65-yard field
kicking
goal.
Kicking it. All 100 out of 100. 100 out of 100. And, Bob, and you know what? If it's the last kick right before the half, I'll try a 70-yarder. I don't, But I got to have my guys, you know, because they're going to put a guy back to return, in case it's short, to return it, too. And a lot of times your field goal team is a bunch of big linemen that don't cover very well.
Yeah, 8 minutes into the first quarter, they're probably going for it on fourth and two.
Yes, no question. Or they're punting.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now, if he would make a 70-yard field goal, which would set the record, of course, even though we've seen it done in the preseason, that would make him a hero in the eyes of the NFL and Ravens fans. And a new segment here, Vinny, Haney, and Nolan, is Heroes of the Week in the National Football League. Doesn't have to align with what the NFL officially chooses to be as their guy. And hey, and if the special teams player has a monster game, then we could throw him into whatever category we want but it's offense, defense, and rookie. So we'll start with offense. Vinny Serrato, who's your week two hero of the week?
I got Malik Nabers, 9 for 167, 2 touchdowns, long of 48, 13 targets. I mean, he made some really nice catches, you know, on a few of those punt balls that Russ Wilson was throwing.
And the one at the end of, well, near the end of regulation looked like it was going to be the game-winning touch.
That's when the DB had his hands in his eyes, covering his eyes.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about giving it just to Wilson himself for that turn back the clock performance, but I'm going to go with another gunslinging quarterback. Let's go with Jared Goff here. You know, he was the winner, whereas Russell Wilson lost that game, so I'll give the edge to Goff here. Extremely efficient, 23 of 28, 334 yards, 5 touchdowns, all while taking down his former OC. So a little bit of a revenge sweetener there. Jared Goff sorting out some of the issues he had in week one.
I'm going to go with former first-round draft pick Mac Jones, San Francisco 49ers, and for Brock Purdy last week, this week, and for the foreseeable future, 26 of 39, 3 touchdown passes as San Francisco outlasted the New Orleans Saints. Mac Jones on his third team since he was drafted by the Patriots. Remember last year, kind of a pine rider, now in San Fran, taking over the reins for an injured guy and, you know, looked like the rookie Mac Jones last week against the Saints. You're a defensive hero of the week.
Mine defensive hero is right here, Roquan Smith. 15 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 2 quarterback hits, 1 fumble recovery for a touchdown. What a bad day at the office.
Vinny, I'm right there with you. I mean, you call us homers, call us whatever. I went with Roquan as well. I mean, there's a lot of people calling that the best game he's ever played as a Raven. I don't know if I'd go that far, but it certainly stands out as his best in quite a while. I think it was better than pretty much any performance he had last year.
Agree.
And look, the NFL agrees. The awards are out. He is the AFC Defensive Player of the Week.
And rightfully so. I'm going to think outside the box, go to the NFC, a guy that's going to be in Baltimore on Monday night. Brian Branch, safety for the Lions. 6 tackles, a sack, pass defense, 2 quarterback hits as he made his presence felt. We talk about the best safety in the NFL is Kyle Hamilton. I mean, Brian Branch certainly deserves to be in the conversation. So Brian Branch, who the Ravens are obviously going to be aware of, on the field starting at 8:15 down at M&T. It's a blackout, or darkness falls, I should say. So the Ravens are wearing all black, so dress accordingly for the contest. Brian Branch is going to be a guy that Todd Monken is certainly going to be keeping an eye on here. Rookie hero of the week.
All right, mine is a 28-year-old rookie, Parker Romo. Who's that? It's the kicker for the Falcons, who went 5 for 5 with a long of 54. And, 1 for 1 on PATs, and the Falcons beat the Vikings 22-6, and he was responsible for 16 points.
Yeah, maybe saying bye to young Hay out there in Atlanta. Nolan?
Let's go out to Carolina here. Rookie wide receiver Tetairoa McMillan. Had to practice that one in the mirror this morning, that name. But Bryce Young, look, he's been looking this way, or the rookie's way, quite a bit through 2 weeks. But this was maybe his first breakout game, if you will. 100 yards on the afternoon, had 3 catches of 20-plus yards, and a 40-yard gain as well. Still looking for the end zone in his career, but maybe the true wideout option that Bryce Young has been searching for.
Well, Nolan, that's who I went with as well. It was a losing outing by Carolina, who made a spirited comeback against the Cardinals to get back into that game. How about Hunter Renfro with a couple of touchdowns in that one? But McMillan, he looks like a keeper for them. I mean, they have your number one overall pick in Bryce Young. I guess jury's still out. McMillan, Chuba Hubbard. I mean, they're workable pieces. They're still, I don't want to.
I mean, he's been
more than they are. He's a stud. Let's go with that.
But for Young, I mean, look, he hasn't been great in his career. There's been some slight improvements at the end of last year, but he never really had great weapons around him. I mean, Hubbard's a good running back, but in terms of receiving options, I mean, he's been throwing to Adam Thielen the past couple of years. I mean, it's fine. It's a fine veteran, maybe as a 3. But this kid's never had a true number one wideout at his disposal that a lot of other teams have given to their young quarterbacks.
You didn't like Deontay Johnson when he was there?
I don't think Deontay Johnson liked it there.
Anyway, that's our heroes for week two of the National Football League season of 25. We'll come back, count some midweek dough, hopefully by yourself, talk about sports subjects, talk Orioles. 11 games left in the season, mathematically eliminated yesterday from the postseason, Jim Hunter. And then we got your American League East report and beyond. A couple of crazy games last night with possible playoff ramifications. NFL lunch at 1. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, preview week three of this National Football League season with him. And then Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens defense. And it was too easy for him. Or was it?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or selling?
I'm not gonna buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Jim Hunter. Talk some Orioles with him. Birds going for the sweep against the White Sox coming up at 2:10 after holding off Chicago yesterday. American League East and beyond coming up at 12:45. Final couple weeks of the regular season. Things are getting zany in these wild card chases for sure. But right now, let's count some dough, man. Where's that buy or sell?
Well, the Dow's up 262. S&P's down 10. NASDAQ's down 114. DraftKings is down 23 cents. Under Armour's up 19 cents to $4.87.
I keep saying I'm going to get back in, but oh no, I don't do it for some reason.
Starting in the NFL today, where Ashton Jeanty, his transition to the NFL has not been as smooth as we anticipated. Just 81 yards through two games and only picking up 2.7 per carry. I mean, that's way off of what his track record has shown. But Pete Carroll, well, he's adamant about this being a process for his rookie and knows that better results are coming. The biggest detriment, though, recently has been really the lack of balance between the run and pass. We thought, and a lot of people out there also thought, that this was supposed to be a run-heavy offense to begin with. Now they've gone the complete opposite direction, with Geno Smith attempting 77 passes between weeks 1 and 2. Vinny, buy or sell, Jeanty's breakout will finally come this Sunday against the Commanders defense.
Yeah, I'll buy it. I mean, watching him in college, he was spectacular, you know, and slow start, getting a feel for it, you know, maybe. But, I mean, look at Judkins. Judkins had practiced one time, and then he didn't. No OTAs, no training camp, nothing, and comes in and looks like legit.
Yeah, Mike Harmon kind of called it, said he took a lot of hits at Boise and already seeing Trent Richardson comparisons.
Oh,
yikes.
Don't like that.
No.
Let's go a little over to college football here. Just a few weeks into the season, coaches already being fired, including Virginia Tech's Brent Pry. Who replaces him in the long term will be interesting, but one former alum is already having his name included in the early rumor mill, talking about Michael Vick, who being linked to the job despite being in the first year of his first ever year coaching in his career. He's the head man at Norfolk State. Now, he's trying to downplay it, says his focus is on his current school. But, Bob, are you buying or selling that Vic will end up as a serious candidate for the Virginia Tech job?
I'm selling it for now.
Yes.
I mean, get a little thing rolling at Norfolk before you start trying to level up. Like Dion, he had Travis Hunter from day one. So he had him and Shador. I mean, he had NFL-ready guys that he took with him to Colorado. And, you know, right now for old Dion, things aren't going all that great. at with the Buffaloes. But if Michael Vick proves he can recruit and win, then he would be absolutely the candidate. You know, Shane Bieber wouldn't be all that bad.
I don't think they could get it.
Yeah, exactly. But boy, because there's, you can win. Frank did it for years. You can win in Blacksburg, but they have really bottomed out for sure.
Go over to the Ravens here. Zay Flowers has been fed the ball early and often this season, 20 targets in two games, and he's taken advantage, over 200 yards and a touchdown. Now, we already know that he was one of Lamar's preferred targets in this offense, but just like last year, a lot of other mouths to feed, so we anticipated more of an even distribution of the ball, but so far, Zay's been the guy. Really nothing for the tight ends at all, and the other receivers just get what you can, I guess. Buy or sell, Vinny. Flowers will become just the fourth player in Ravens history to accumulate 150 targets in a season, joining Derek Mason, Mark Andrews, and Michael Jackson.
I'll buy it, but I think some of his targets will go down when Likely comes back, because a lot of those quick screens and all those are kind of plays for Likely that Zay's getting. Right now, I mean, you want the ball in Zay's hands because, you know, he's been the most productive guy. And I think that's what, you know, Todd Monken's seeing. That's what Lamar's seeing, you know, so get it to him.
The big thing I've noticed with him, and he even mentioned it, I think, after the week one performance against Buffalo, when he gets the ball in his hands, he's just going downfield. None of this shifting back and forth. Oh, maybe there's a little more yards over here. No, it's just nose north and south. Once I get the ball in my hands, it's upfield. None of this dancing around.
To your point, watching the game with my cousin Al Sunday, when he was doing get as much as you can, I was like, if that was Hollywood Brown, he would have hit the deck about 2 seconds after he caught the ball.
No question.
Especially he would have caught it like a punt, too. Yeah. He trapped the ball against his chest.
That was watching that play where he came back on that one. That's a phenomenal play because, you know, I mean, he beats that receiver or DB back and stuff. It was phenomenal play, great catch, and a great play by Lamar, too. He's getting tackled as he's throwing it.
Last topic of the day deals with the Orioles. Tyler Wells on the mound for this afternoon's finale against the White Sox, his third start of the season. And those previous two have been great, probably everything we could have hoped for in his return from a significant injury. First time out against the Padres, 5 innings, 2 runs allowed. Then last time against the Pirates, 6 2/3, just 1 run allowed. Keep an eye on that pitch count for him in the return from injury. Threw 85 pitches in his first outing, 89 in the second. Buy or sell, Bob, assuming that Wells is on his game, Mancelino will let him push his pitch count to 100 today.
I'm going to sell. Sell it! I thought you were going to say, should he be the closer next year, which is...
Easy buy.
Yeah, leading in that direction, you know. You add a couple of guys. Logan Gilbert could be available, who won last night for Seattle, who's won, 10 in a row, which we'll get to in a few minutes. But I'm going to sell that. I don't know. I'm selling.
Right. I mean, why push it?
Yeah.
Really.
If there's 11 games left, we'll get one more start. Right?
Maybe two. I got to see how it shakes out. Yeah. I know I was looking at Kramer after last night. He'll get one more start.
Yeah, here we go. Against the Yankees starting tomorrow, Povich, Rogers, Sagano, Bradish. So he'll go in 5 days. Don't make me do math.
Mm-hmm. And
two
then that's
tops.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's probably just the one then because they are 6-man.
Right. So there you go. So this could be it. I'd say no, don't do it. I'm selling. He'll make it happen, but we'll find out at 2:10 when the game starts going for the sweep. The Birds, we go to the Orioles, talk to Jim Hunter about that. American League East report, all the zaniness going on in baseball as we're winding down the regular season. NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock as the Ravens get ready for the Lions. Got tomorrow's game, Buffalo, big favorites against Miami. Could this be the swan song for Mike McDaniel? Ryan Wilson, we'll talk about that with him at 1:15, CBSSports.com. And then Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens' defense. How much of it was the defense or a hapless Cleveland?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Open. But here to discuss that and more, our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, and of course, longtime voice of the Orioles, Window Nation guest hotline, Jim Hunter. Jim, what's happening?
How you doing there, Bob?
Doing all right. And we were talking earlier, asking the audience about this. Now that the Orioles are done, for the first time in 3 years, no playoff baseball here in the Charm City. No Pickles BBTs is what it is. We'll hope for next year. One reason. There's a lot of reasons, obviously, Jim, why they're not going to the postseason or, quite frankly, even going to finish 500. But pick one reason why. The main reason, Jim Hunter, why the Orioles are in last place and not going to the playoffs for the first time in 3 years, which they haven't done in a long, long time.
Well, for me, it's starting pitching depth. They suffered so many injuries to starting pitchers, and I don't believe Mike Elias did as good of a job as he could have to bring in pitchers from outside the organization to add depth. It doesn't necessarily mean he had to go out and sign the top free agent, but, I mean, Garrett Crochet was available from the White Sox, and I guess Elias didn't want to give up what the White Sox were asking, and now he's in Boston, and he's one of the top pitchers in the AL East. So to me, with the injuries they've had, the depth of the starting rotation clearly has done them in for the season.
Now, maybe one of the pieces that Elias was reluctant to trade in a Crochet deal, if the Orioles were even that involved at all, to be totally honest with you, Kobe Mayo. He finally got the batting average over the Mendoza mark last night with three hits, hit a couple of homers against the Blue Jays. You've had an opportunity now to give him at-bats, not fair at-bats to judge him in totality, but what is your impression of Mayo, good or bad, based on what you were expecting when they called him up after all the hubbub we had heard about him throughout his minor league career?
Well, he's certainly making better contact as of late, and as you mentioned, three hits last night to get the batting average up to 201. But so many of these young hitters, and Colton Cowser fits this category as well, they just swing and miss too much. You know, it's almost as if they don't understand that if you're down in the count, you're going to get the slider down and in, or in Mayo's case, because he's a right-handed batter, down and away. They just swing and miss too much. I mean, last night they struck out, 11 more times in the game, and Cowser struck out three times in his five at-bats. So I think Mayo's making better contact as of late, and I saw him on the post-game show last night, and he said that with success, your confidence is boosted, and you go to the game expecting to do well. And I think he now knows he belongs. You know, as you mentioned, he had a couple of home runs in Toronto. But the whole thing about this, and I don't know what they're teaching these guys analytically, but the entire team needs to make better contact. And the prospects coming up from the minors, I mean, that's why Beavers is such a revelation. I mean, he makes as good a contact as any young player that they brought up recently. So Mayo, he's making better contact as of late, but he really has to perfect that swing and not chase as much.
Jim Hunter, longtime voice of the Orioles, our colleague here on BBT, 105.7 The Fan, talking to Birds, going for the sweep against the White Sox where they come home for their final homestand of the year, Yankees looming four-game series. Last year, the Orioles, Jim, as we talked about many times during the season, one of the best teams in baseball in regards to run production and certainly bashing the long ball. Nowhere near that level here in 2025. Gunnar Henderson not even at 20 after pushing 40 last year. Any concerns with the lack of bombs from some of the guys that were expected to take it to the next level in that regard here?
Well, I don't think so, because it's a copycat league. And if a team shows how to get a certain hitter out, The next opponent is going to do the same thing. And I think it's up to Gunnar now to readjust to the league. Last year, he may have snuck up on some pitchers and some teams with the 37 long balls. But they now know him. And, I mean, let's face it, Bob. If you're an opposing team and you go into your meeting before game one of a series, you're going to say, Gunnar Henderson will not beat us. And you're going to pitch him accordingly. So I think he has to adjust. I'm not worried at all about the lack of home runs this year. You know, he definitely is one of the best hitters on the team, and he's definitely one of the best hitters in the league. You know, he's batting .272. He had three more hits last night, a couple of RBIs. And for him to get that home run stroke back, he's going to have to adjust and look for certain pitches.
Now, Jim, you were an announcer for a lot of years. Did you guys ever get to throw to the radar gun? Last night, the announcers, you know, the media people were throwing...
speed pitch.
To the speed pitch. And our colleague Rob Long threw it a 58.
Yeah, I did 58. See that on the...
the one hopper?
Yeah, and 65 miles an hour won it. Which is not that very impressive. But, no, I've never done that at a major league ballpark in all my years covering the team. But that was an interesting segment. I'm glad they did it. Yeah. It seemed to be fun.
Jim doesn't even drive 65 miles per hour, much less throw a ball there. Hey, Jim, appreciate your time as always, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday as we're winding down, unfortunately, an unsuccessful Orioles season here.
Well, I will see you tomorrow night at Pickles.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I keep thinking, yes, can't wait. Jim Hunter, we'll see you down there. It's 7 o'clock game, so we'll be there at 6.
All right, guys, good to be with you.
All right, Jim.
Here's Jim Hunter, everyone. We'll be down at Pickles Pub. Forgot all about that. Tomorrow night, four-game series. Our coverage starts at 6. We'll be there earlier. It's our last Friday, by the way, coming up this weekend. Steve Molesky will be joining me. Nolan will be down there as well. So come on down for Friday and buy us a bunch of beer because we won't be there on a Friday. We're there next Tuesday and Wednesday. So we're going to celebrate. Even though we're not pouring champagne on the Orioles, we'll pour it on ourselves.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto.
A closer look at the AL East with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Before we get to the AL East, there's a game happening as we speak. Cubs in Pittsburgh taking on the Pirates. Chicago wins. They clinch a playoff spot as they're still chasing the Brewers in the NL Central. They're up 4-0, top of the first inning. Pittsburgh has yet to record an out in this ballgame. So it looks like Craig Counsell and his boys are about to get to the postseason here as they're up big time over the Pittsburgh Pirates. But still, we got 9 innings of baseball left to go. But that's their problem. Pittsburgh, like the Orioles, mathematically eliminated from postseason consideration. Orioles did win last night 8-7, holding off the Chicago White Sox after going up 8-2. Sammy Basayo and Dylan Beavers both hit 2-run homers. Dean Kramer picked up his 10th win. Gunnar Henderson drove in 2 runs. So with the win, the Orioles get the series win. Small consolation, of course, based on how things have gone for them in 2025. But they are having a pretty good month of September here and looking to close out this road trip against the White Sox with a sweep. Tyler Wells, he's 1-0 with .231. Martin Perez, lefty, for the White Sox. Orioles lineup, it's Holiday at second base, Jordan Westberg at third, fresh off the IL. Gunnar Henderson, shortstop. Tyler O'Neill's the DH. Jeremiah Jackson, he's been just raking since August 1st when the Orioles called him up. He's at right field. Kobe Mayo's at first. Dylan Beavers left field. Ajax is behind the plate batting eighth. And Jorge Mateo, Georgie, getting some run here in center field. The one thing we talked about earlier that I found fascinating about this whole thing, Ryan Mountcastle against the lefty. I don't know what all of this means. Just get a look at the young guys. Mountie, arbitration eligible, at a big price tag. You know, Mateo's making $5 million this year. He's going to hit arbitration again. Injury depleted season for him, but just throwing it out there in that regard for two guys who might be ex-Orioles when the offseason is completed, or probably two of the things they might address early in said offseason. But anywho, throughout the American League East last night. The A's taking on the Red Sox at Fenway. Red Sox chasing New York. New York and Boston both chasing Toronto. And Sacramento, Las Vegas, whatever the hell they are, didn't do the Red Sox any favors last night.
And that's lined into left. That'll drop down for a hit. Soderstrom rounding third. He will score. Cortez to third. Harris takes a long turnaround first and scampers back in safely. An RBI single and the A's lead 2-1.
Harris with the hit that drives in Soderstrom, who had an RBI himself. 2-1 was the final score. That is A's radio on the call there. Blue Jays taking on the Rays. And Tampa's trying to hang around. Blue Jays are on fire. And Toronto stays that way.
Fly ball right field. Hit well. And is that ball gone? The ruling is no, that it's off the top of the wall and in play. And now the throw gets away. Got to third.
Here's the play. It looked like Josh Lowe tipped the ball review, with his glove.
After a quick review, it is a home run.
There you go.
That is Sportsnet on the call. Lucas and Loperfido both go yard for Toronto. Springer, who's been on fire, he drove in two more runs. 6-5 was the final score. Brandon Lau, former Terp, he had a three-run homer there in a losing effort for the Tampa Bay Rays. But Toronto, they're cooking, man. And they should thank the Orioles because they kind of started this little hot streak. And then the Yankees taking on the Twins. A day after getting shut out, New York broke out the whipping sticks.
High fly ball, deep right, Walner back, turning, looking, see ya! A home run for Grisham, his 31st of the year, and the Yankees lead 5-1.
Trent Grisham, 31 home runs. Two-run shot there. Giancarlo Stanton drove in two. 6-5 was the final score as New York held off Minnesota to even that series at a game apiece. In the division today, A's at Boston, Toronto's at Tampa, and then Baltimore, of course, starts in a little more than an hour against the White Sox. Standings update in Major League Baseball here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Toronto, 5 games up on New York, 7 on Boston. Detroit, their lead in the AL Central has dwindled to 5.5 games. Cleveland is on fire. They won 9 of 10, 5 in a row. So all of a sudden, Stephen Vogt and the Guardians very much in playoff consideration. And out in the West, the big dumper, Cal Raleigh, he hit 2 home runs. Canzone hit 3. As Seattle wins yet again, the Mariners have won 10 in a row as they're a half game up on Houston out there in the AL West. Houston starting to percolate at the right time for them, for sure. Phillies have already clinched their division in the East. Milwaukee's clinched a playoff spot as they're fighting off the Cubs in the Central. As we said, Cubs with a win today against the Pirates. They clinch a playoff berth. And out West, Dodgers, they're 2 games up on the Padres for division supremacy. In the wild card, New York, Houston, Boston in for now. Cleveland 2.5 out. Texas 3.5 out. That's kind of it. Kansas City got themselves into it. They played themselves out of it. They're 7 back, so we're going to go ahead and stick a fork in them, even though they're not officially forked. And out in the National League, Cubs, Padres, Mets in. Diamondbacks won 4 in a row. They're only 1.5 games out because they came from behind to beat the Giants yesterday, who have now lost 4 in a row. So it's Arizona 1.5 back of the Mets, Reds and Diamondbacks 3 back, and the Cardinals are still kind of sort of hanging around at 4.5. So we got, 10-11 games left in the regular season and still a lot of stuff to happen in the wild card in a couple of divisions here in Major League Baseball. When we come back, however, NFL Lunch features some football heading into Week 3. Vinny's got some stuff to talk about with the Detroit Lions, come to town at 1-1, just like Baltimore. We'll also look at the schedule for the third week of the NFL season, which starts tomorrow night. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, talk about the Mike McDaniel watch in Miami. Is it appropriate? And then Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens' defense, their win against the Browns. Were they that good? Or is Cleveland's offense that bad?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. you get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.